I am God and I cannot lie. I am not a man that I even could lie. Healing is something that I have guaranteed to you. Do you not think that if I would guarantee you healing, I would also not give you the potential and the ability to believe for that healing? Do you not think that with the healing, I would give to you that which you need to believe for the manifestation of that healing? The moment that you accepted my Son as your Lord and Savior is the moment that you inherited healing for your body. And the moment that you accepted my Son as Lord and Savior and received my life in you is the moment that you received the potential and the capacity to believe for the healing for your body. But I say unto you, the lies of religion have taught you otherwise. The lies of religion are what has made it so difficult for my children to believe in the healing that I have guaranteed and then to receive it. But I say unto you, if you will spend time in fellowship with me, if you will spend time in fellowship with me through the gift of praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is going to bring about a revelation to you about the healing I have guaranteed. And not only that, but He will help you learn how to walk in the faith necessary to receive the manifestation of this healing. I say unto you, healing is guaranteed to you through the completed work of my Son. And I have given to you what you need to believe for that healing. So take me at my word and believe me when I tell you, it is not my will for you to struggle with affliction or sickness or disease. It is my will for you to receive healing for every attack of sickness and affliction and disease. I rejoice in the healing of my children, and it is my desire for you to live with that healing, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to your precious name, Lord. I worship you. I worship you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. I was raised in a church that didn't tell me that I could be healed. In fact, it was pretty much, it may be the will of God to teach you a lesson. Well, you know, that was kind of a weird thing because when I would ever get sick as a child, my earthly father would see to it that I got to the doctor. And so, you mean you're telling me that my heavenly father is a lesser man than my earthly father? And God, if you don't want me healed, then you need to do something to keep my dad from getting me to the doctor, because that means my dad is out of your will. How ludicrous. How insane. But see, that's what religion is. It's insane. But if you want to get someone to believe the religion that you have started, all you have to do is wrap it in a few verses of Scripture and hang a necklace that says Jesus around its neck. And then people will start believing it. And they'll start accepting it. And one of the things that I've learned over the years is that the hardest part about living for God is believing His Word. That's it. Because once you come to the place of believing what He has said in His Word, it's easy to live for Him. We struggle in comprehending the magnitude of what He said in His Word. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. That right there is the key. It's looking unto Jesus. And I know for a long time I didn't fully understand everything that verse meant, looking unto Jesus. And in my mind I'm thinking, okay, well, He's, like it says, up there on that throne. So I'm looking unto Jesus. Well, that's true, and that's right, and that's a good thing to do. However, there's a message in this. You see, I personally have a difficult time relating to the Jesus that's up there on the throne. Because He's been crucified, buried, raised from the dead, and now there He is up in heaven. I'm not up in heaven. It's difficult for me to relate to that person. But do you know who I can relate to? The Jesus I read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Jesus who walked this earth that I'm walking. I can relate to Him. See, it doesn't take faith to live in heaven. When you're there, it's over and done with. I need faith now. I need to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And the way that I do that is I go back into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I begin to read about Him. And I begin to find out, what did He do? If I am supposed to look unto Him, then I need to find out as much about Him as I can. Do you understand there's more about Him, more written about Him in Scripture concerning His time here on earth than there is about His time in heaven? There's not that much, relatively speaking, written about Him and His time in heaven. But here on earth, there's a boatload of stuff. And if I want to learn about this faith, if I want to learn about what He's telling me to do, look unto Jesus. Why do I need to look unto Him? Because if you look unto Him, you're going to find out your potential here on this earth.
Amen.
That means there's nobody else I can look unto. In fact, even the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Because as I follow Christ, you'll be following me right into His presence, right into His glory. I need to look unto the Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to find out my potential. Because Jesus was the first man since Adam to exist on this planet with the life of the Father. And if I have been born again and received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I now have the life of the Father inside of me. I have that life. And now, if I want to know how to live that life, I need to look unto Jesus. And one of the things that the Lord has shown me so clearly, we as Christians have not been taught to really look unto Jesus. We've been taught to look unto man. Just like I shared earlier, when I was raised in church, they told me I needed to be born again, and they told me, you go to hell if you don't get saved. They made that very clear. Well, I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. And they said, well, Jesus is the only way. So I put my faith in Jesus. But then they said things like, healing's not for today. Then they said things like, well, you're not Jesus. You can never be like Jesus. Well, then why am I supposed to look unto Him, the author and the finisher of my faith? Another way to say this, look unto Him as your example for living. The way life is supposed to be for somebody who's born again and has the life of the Father on the inside. Look unto Him. He's your example. So why would I look anywhere else? The moment you start looking unto Jesus is the moment you have entered into warfare. And I don't mean with the devil, I mean with religion. Because the moment you start looking unto Jesus and start believing this is the moment some churches will turn you out the front door. It's the moment some churches will yank your preaching papers as though they're the ones that called you in the first place. The moment you start believing this is the moment even some of your born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, charismatic friends are going to call you weird. The moment you read this and you start believing it is the moment some of your friends are going to call you imbalanced. When the truth of the matter is, you're becoming more balanced than you ever have in your life. Imbalance is when you're not living like Jesus. Religion can't bring balance to your life. Religion will keep you imbalanced and then pat you on the back for it and tell you you're doing a good job. I'm not supposed to look unto my religion. I'm not supposed to look unto my pastor. God gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for a reason. And that reason is to teach us how to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I have come to realize, this has been a hard thing for me to really to accept. It's almost like God has had a sit down with me on more than one occasion. And he said, well, let me just kind of say it like this. He said, Jim, you need to get it through your head that there are a lot of Christians, a lot of my children, who barely believe a word I've said. Now, they're going to be here for eternity with me. But they basically don't believe the majority of what I have said, and I can't lie. And you, Jim, need to learn to accept that and realize that no matter how you teach, no matter how line upon line, precept upon precept, no matter how you break it down, no matter how you prove it from my word, people, some people, are not going to receive it no matter what.
Right.
Go ahead and raise the dead. They're not going to receive it. And then as he's sharing those kind of things with me, he gives me the image of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He went about doing all these great miracles, and they didn't believe him. He heals their children, and they didn't believe him. He raises the dead. They didn't believe him. In fact, they even started saying he was doing these things by devils. Absolutely insane. And yet, I'm supposed to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. He's my example. And I've come to realize it takes more faith to look unto Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and to live that way than it does to witness to a lost person you meet on the street. Because you see, when you meet a lost person, you ever start to witness to somebody and you feel like that nervous feeling on the inside? You know what I'm talking about. You get like the willies on the inside, you know, it's like, are they going to believe me? I mean, you know, what's the deal? But you know, you know you're supposed to do it. It's harder to read Matthew, Mark, and John and look at all these things Jesus did and say, I can do that.
Amen.
Religion will kick you out for that. But why tell me to look unto Jesus if he's not supposed to be my example? Why tell me that if there isn't some kind of potential in this? Why tell me that if it, you know, don't cook the steak and then not offer it to me.
That's just wrong.
We have this place at home, Marion's Pizza.
Hallelujah.
Need I say more? Don't take me to Marion's and make me eat a sandwich. I want the pizza. And then after the pizza, we have this ice cream place called Grater's.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Need I say more? Don't dare take me to Grater's and not offer me some ice cream. Don't tell me to look unto Jesus and then laugh in my face and say, but you can't be that. God has said, I want you to look unto my Son because that's what I intend for you to be. You'll never be a Messiah. You'll never be deity. And you're never going to be crucified for anybody. And nobody's ever going to be washed in your blood. But you can be like Him.
Amen.
Man, you talk about... You want to find out how much religion exists on the inside of you? Start trying to believe that. Start trying to believe, I'll never be deity, but I can be like Jesus. And then go around and tell people. And then stand up in front of people and say that. And look at the reactions on their faces. Like some of you tonight. Can't be like Jesus. Can't be like that. Who is this heretic? Can we leave now? Turn over to John chapter 6. You know, there's a verse in the Bible where it talks about the simplicity of the gospel. There have been times in my life when I've been reading and thinking, there doesn't seem to be too much simple about this. I'm having a really difficult time understanding what's written. But yet the Bible tells us very clearly that accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior gives us the mind of Christ. What that means is that we now have the potential to think with that mindset. So really, we have the ability to think two different ways. With a religious mindset, well, technically three ways. With a world mindset, a religious mindset, and a Christ mindset. Thinking with a Christ mindset takes a lot of work because you have to dig all that religious stuff out of you. And man, I'm telling you, that can be very difficult. In John chapter 6, in verse 38, look what Jesus said. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. The only way that you can do the will of somebody who sends you is if you know that will.
Yeah.
He said, I didn't come down to do my will, I came to do the will of Him that sent me. Okay, that right there, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, that right there is me. Well, it's supposed to be. I don't live on this earth to do my own will, but the will of Him who saved me and called me and sent me.
That's right.
But I can't do that if I don't know His will. And therein lies the religious problem. Religion tells us, well, if it seems like the right thing to do and it's not sin, then you can do it. Well, that sounds good to the world mindset, to the religious mindset, but not to the mind of Christ. Because the only way that you can receive that kind of information is if you are having some kind of communication with the One who knows the will in the first place. He said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Look in chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus says, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. He's saying, whatever works my Father would do, that's what I do. That's me. That's supposed to be me. Whatever works my Father God would do, I do. Notice, look at this. Jesus said, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. He didn't say, my Father worketh hitherto and I can work. He said, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. That's supposed to be me. I'm supposed to be, I know my Father's works, and I work my Father's works. That's supposed to be me, looking unto Jesus, my example. In John chapter 5, look now in verse 19. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Just go around to all of your saved friends and start talking about doing the works of God. And I don't mean with a potential mindset, meaning, well, you know, I can do the works of God. No, you start declaring, I do the works of God. And you're going to have people criticize you for this. That is supposed to be our mindset. What we're reading right here, this is supposed to be the way that we live every single day. Look in the same chapter, look in verse 30. Jesus said, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." So in other words, when I stand up and I say, look, I do my Father's will and I work my Father's works, I'm not telling you I do it of myself. I'm telling you I do it because I'm in submission to my Father. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Okay, you think, but that just sounds so far out there to say I do the works of my Father. Well, which sounds better? I do the works of my Father, or I can't get nobody healed. I'd rather hear somebody say, I do the works of my Father, and have them pray for me, than somebody saying, I can't get nobody healed, but I'll try. I'll give it a shot and I'll pray for you. I'd rather have somebody who's looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Look in John chapter 12, verse 49. Jesus said, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." That's supposed to be me. I'm supposed to be at a place to where I stand up and I say, I do not speak anything other than what my Father tells me to speak. I should be at a place to where I can hear His voice. Because the only way that you can speak what the Father tells you to speak is if you can hear the Father speaking. And if you can't hear the Father speaking, then you know what you have to do? You have to come up with something, especially if you're a pastor. Every week you've got to come up with something. That's why they have these books at the Christian bookstores, you know, 52 sermons for, you know, whatever the year it is. And I'm sorry to have to admit that when I first started preaching, I had some of those books. I don't have them anymore. Well then, Brother Martin, if you don't have those books anymore, how in the world do you know what to preach? Because I'm becoming more and more the verses we just read. I'm hearing His voice more and more. These services, I'm praying about this. And, you know, I'm kind of like Gary. I don't like to teach things I've already taught. The way I look at it, you can get the CDs and the audio DVDs, download it from the website. There's no charge for any of this. And, you know, just listen and listen and listen. It's available to you. So why should I stand up and teach something else? The Lord dealt with me about that. And He said, you need to understand not everybody's listening to you. It's like, do what? And what he meant was, in spite of the fact that it's out there, there are a lot of people who could, but don't. And so therefore, you need to go back, and there are times when you need to teach things you've taught before. And praying about these services this week. And I'm thinking, okay, now, you know, I'd really like to, you know, go through a particular passage, you know, and break this down and do the line upon line, just really just dig into this. And I'm praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And finally, it was like, he said, Jim, you're making this too complicated. Just take a breath and slow down here. And just go over these other things. And in my mind, I'm thinking, but yeah, they've already heard these other things. And it's like he's saying, no, they haven't. That's not a criticism. I mean, that's just how it is. It's just like, I haven't heard everything that everybody else has preached. But here, he says, I only speak what I hear my Father tell me to speak. And in John chapter 14, Verse 6, Jesus is, Thomas is talking to him and he says, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus looks right at him and says, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So if I'm supposed to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, and I do that primarily through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and witnessing his life, do you know who else I am looking at? My Father. As I'm looking at Jesus in this, and I'm witnessing everything he said and everything that he did, I am also observing my Father on earth in operation. Therefore, if I'm looking at Jesus as my example, what God is saying here is, look, you're my child. Look unto him, my son Jesus, and you're going to find out what a child of mine can do on the earth.
That's right. Amen.
Like, glory to God.
That's good preaching.
That's my potential. To be like God. Not a God. Not deity. Not the fourth person of the Godhead. You understand? None of that. No. But I'll be like him. I'll be like him. Where do you think all these cults have come up with the idea that you'll be a God? Satan has taken the Word of God and twisted it, and they stand up and they say, you'll become a God. And God is saying, you ain't ever going to become a God, but you can be like me. You can be like me on the earth, and my Son has set the example of how you can be like me on the earth and how you can do my works. This is basic Christianity. This is entry level Christianity. This is, the milk. But the thing is, for so many of us, this is meat. Wow, this is deep, calleth unto deep. And God's in heaven, he's saying, no, it's not either. You're supposed, if you don't get a hold of this, how can you get a hold of anything else? Because if you don't believe that you can be like Jesus, then how can you believe that you can be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a teacher, and anything else? How can you possibly become anything unless you believe you can be like Jesus? Well, that's easy. I just go to seminary. No. You have to believe that you can be like Jesus. But see, in our minds, we struggle with this. It's like, how can anybody be like Jesus? Get born again. Get born again. That's where it starts. Here's the problem. Part of the problem. When we get born again, because we are adults, we make an assumption that, okay, I'm 50 years old, an adult, that means I'm 50 years old as a Christian. Nuh-uh. It talks about having to feast on the milk of the Word as babes in Christ. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. If you have never feasted on the milk, what makes you think you've grown thereby? You're born again, yeah. But you're a babe in Christ. And there are a lot of churches out there, they'll get you born again, but they'll only take you to like second grade. Oh, they'll get you through daycare and kindergarten. And they'll get you through first grade. They'll take you to second grade. And they'll keep you at second grade all your life. And you'll have been born again for 60 years and still be in second grade. But your natural maturity and the wisdom that you've gained by living in this world is looked at by your peers as being spiritual maturity. But you ask that person, can you be like Jesus and can you do those works that we see? Oh, no, brother. No. No one can be like Jesus. Well, what about what the Bible says? Well, now, brother, you don't want to get too literal with some of these things. Well, why not? If I'm supposed to look unto Him as my example, why shouldn't I get literal with these things? One of the things that the Lord helped me understand a long time ago is that what we do is we take Jesus, the Jesus that we see, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we put Him so far up on a pedestal He is beyond our reach, and we don't believe we can be anything like Him. And yet in 2 Corinthians 3:18 it says we're supposed to be conforming to the image of the same glory. But if I can't be like Him, then I can't conform to that image. Why tell me to conform to something if I have no potential to conform to it? If I can't be like Jesus, don't tell me to try. But just tell me right up front. Just say, thou canst not do it. just tell me. Don't tell me to do it when you know I can't. But if God says if God says to do it, then guess what? I can do it. look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 9 it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You can teach a week on this verse. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Do you see, this is a process. It's not a state of existence. It is a process. It is a growing process. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature. Over in Romans chapter 8 it says He's the firstborn of many brethren. I'm one of the brethren, and so are you. Now, if He's the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of many brethren, then once I become a brethren, then I have the potential to be that image. Not be that God, but be that image. See, we wonder how the early church was able to do all these things. Boy, we need to have a Book of Acts church. We need to get back to being like it was in the New Testament. Well, if you want to get back to being the way it was in the New Testament and you want to have a Book of Acts church, you have to believe the way they believed. And the apostles believed this. They believed they could be like Jesus. They didn't believe they were going to be a Jesus Junior, but they believed they could be like Jesus. Do you understand what I mean? They believed this. There was no doubt in their minds. How did they do all those miracles? They believed it. They just believed it. See, they had Jesus walking with them day after day after day. Then He leaves and He says, okay, boys, carry on. And they said, okay. And so they go and they do. And now here, we read it. And God is still saying, carry on. Carry on. Carry on. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we as the body of Christ may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We grow up into Him. We grow up into that image. We become like Him. We become like Him. And if I become like Him, then I can do like Him. This is such a challenge for so many people. Because as believers, we really don't have too many churches teaching this. What I want to do right now, in fact, I'm just going to go ahead and jump to this. And there are some other verses we'll get to tomorrow. But real briefly, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, from the time that Jesus ascended back to the Father up until today, they all are supposed to be teaching these things to us. All of them. Every pastor of every church is supposed to be standing up and exhorting the people and teaching the people from the Word of God how they can be like Jesus, how they can mature and grow in Him, what it takes to do this, how they can do the works, and encouraging them. Yes, you can lay hands on the sick, you can speak to devils, cast them out, you can do all of these things. Whatever you see Jesus doing, you can do also. He is the prototype. He is the image. He is the example. That's what we're supposed to be told in our churches. And then there's a very good chance that every person in here, the churches we've been in the past, we've never heard this. We've never heard this taught. Oh, we've been led to accept Jesus, but we've never been taught we can be like Jesus. In fact, in some of our churches, we've been told just the opposite, that it can't happen, ever. Yeah, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. You're a Christian, but you still have a sin nature. That is not scriptural. You're lost or you're born again. There's no in between. There's no such thing as Twilight Zone Christianity where you just And if you're here tonight and you've never heard that, if you're here tonight and you've never heard somebody show you from Scripture that as a Christian you do not have a sin nature. One of the things the Lord showed me is that we confuse the ability to choose with having a sin nature. The fact that we can choose to commit sin does not mean we have a sin nature. See, when I was in church, we were taught, well, if you're really born again, then what happens is God reaches in and removes that part of you that can choose to commit sin. And then when somebody we trusted in the church committed sin, we came up with another explanation and said that they were still Christians. It's because we didn't understand. And see, these are basic things that we're supposed to be hearing our whole lives. And the apostles, the prophets, all of these people that are in ministry are supposed to be teaching us these things until we come to the place to where we are conformed to His image, walking in the unity of the doctrine of the Word of God. And the sad thing is, it doesn't happen like that. And I don't know all of the folks that are here tonight, but there's a really good chance that some people in this room right now are struggling with what I'm sharing with you. But the reason you're struggling with this is because you haven't had somebody stand up and teach you these things line upon line. Look, it's not your fault. I mean, it's really not. Because if you're raised in a religious atmosphere that denies the essence of Christ on the inside of you, what chance do you have? If you're raised where people ignore portions of Scripture because they don't understand it, what chance do you have? Unless somebody comes along in your life and begins to open the Word of God to you and begins to show you these things. Unless you come to a place in your life like I did, to where you finally just throw up your hands and say, God, I'm taking everything I've learned in the past and I'm putting it on a shelf. I'm going to read through the New Testament and find out what you've really said about this stuff. It's not your fault if you've been taught wrong. But it is your fault if you choose to remain wrong once you hear truth. Now, God will still love you. You'll still be going to heaven as long as you don't deny Jesus. You're still going to heaven. But I want you to listen to this. A few words here the Lord gave me that just are right in this. He said, if you want to know the level at which the sheep are walking, just listen to what their shepherds say. Keep in mind that the shepherds are usually further along in God than the flock they oversee. If a pastor represents 100 sheep, Multiply what they preach and teach by 100, and you'll have a rough idea of how widespread their doctrine is, whether it is right or wrong. And I started doing the math. Okay, how many churches are there in the world? Multiply those pastors by 100. And you begin to realize how widespread the craziness is, the foolishness is. Because if you have 50,000 pastors throughout the world that are preaching, you're just a sinner saved by grace, and yeah, you're born again, washed in the blood, but you still have a sin nature. Multiply that by 100, and you can see why the church seems so powerless in the world today. It's because we don't know who we are in Christ. He said, your humanity is not an excuse for failing to live up to the standards of God's life in you. His life is greater than any potential failure related to your existence as a human. You are to conform to His image, not remain conformed to fallen humanity. You are to think from the mind of Christ, not rationalize and conclude according to the pattern of thought that governs the lives of the lost. Your body is indeed human, but the life in your body is supernatural. This is why you can live as Christ in the world. I have supernatural life in me. I'm a superhero, hallelujah. Put on a cape, glory to God. He said most Christians, including those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, live on one move of God after another, with the times in between being fraught with indecision, confusion, and questions about what God is doing. You were never intended to live from move to move. You are supposed to live with a spirit that is transformed to the nature you received when you were born again. Such transformation takes you to the place of ongoing, continual fellowship with your Father in the same way that I was in fellowship with Him. The reason this seems so foreign and impossible is because you have not even transformed to the place that you can see such a fellowship as being a living reality. Boy, Jesus was like this with the Father. I wish I could be like that. Boy, Jesus was like this with the Father. I can be like that. There's a huge difference. And see, so many of us have lived our lives not believing it's possible to have that kind of relationship with our Father. It's like it's so far off. It's like, well, you know, when we get to heaven, I don't want to wait. I want to have it now. And the thing is, I can. He said, when Christians don't understand something, they generally develop their own explanation without truly consulting God. Then those explanations become their doctrine. They add to Scripture, isolating and displacing verses from their context in an attempt to support and defend the explanation. Many times these explanations are based on what they feel and what they want to see take place. Consider what happened with James and John when they wanted to call down fire from heaven to destroy those who rejected me. They honestly thought they were suggesting what I would want done, but they had misinterpreted my purpose for being on earth. Now I want you to see this. Look over in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, meaning he's on his way to the cross, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? And he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Now here James and John, they've been traveling with Jesus. He is He's hours away from going to the cross. They have been with him continually, and they have seen him heal, raise the dead, cast out devils. The maimed have been made whole. Thousands have been fed over and over and over. They have seen all these great works that he's done. And by now, they think they have a handle on what he's all about. And so this whole thing with the village of the Samaritans, and they say, well, you can't come in here. And James and John say, we know what he would want. Lord, we are so far advanced in you, and we are carrying such an anointing and so much power because we've been around you all these years, these 3.5 years. We can, if we want, call down fire from heaven like Elijah and consume these people. You want us to do it, Lord? Want us to make your day? The last thing they expected was to be rebuked. Because they thought they knew what he wanted. And he rebukes them and says, you guys are clueless. After 3.5 years, you have not figured out I didn't come to destroy men's lives. I came to save them. You haven't figured this out? Well, guess what, Jesus? 2,000 years later, we still haven't figured it out. We still haven't figured out that we can be like you. We still haven't figured out we can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We still haven't figured out we can cast out devils. We still haven't figured out we can raise the dead. We still haven't figured out that the works you did, we can do also. Because we have religious leaders that think they know you, and they're teaching us to do things that are completely opposed to what you did as the example for us. But if we go back and we begin to look at Jesus, and we begin to see that example, and we begin, if you just go back and read and say, whatever I see Jesus doing, I can do it. Whatever I see him saying, I'm supposed to be teaching. Whatever I see Jesus, my prototype, doing, I can be that image to the people around me, to the world in which I can be this. Why? Because I'm born again. And I have the life of God on the inside of me. Oh, I'll never be a Christ, but I can have a Christ anointing upon me. Because God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And Jesus said, I shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon me. Guess what? I can do it. And the religious mind says, no, you can't. And God's life in me is saying, yes, you can. Look unto Jesus. Stop looking unto man. Yes, but Brother Martin, you don't understand. It is so hard to do this. I need help. What can I do? That's where we'll pick up tomorrow night. Go ahead and stand. By the way, that was a hook. But seriously, tomorrow night I'm going to show you how. Because see, I had the same question. I didn't know. I didn't understand. But I'm going to show you from Scripture what God has shown me. I'm not going to give you opinions. You know, opinions are like armpits. Everybody has a couple, they usually stink. I'm going to give you... I'm going to show you what God has said. It's better if we live by His opinion. Now, if you're here tonight and some of the things you've heard me say have been a challenge, please, don't leave and think, that guy's whacked out. Here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. Seriously. Just go back and read in Scripture what God has said. Take this stuff, you know, your religious past. Thank God they led you to Jesus. But just get into the Word and say, you know, Father, here's all this stuff I've been taught. Now I'm going to just read. I'm just going to start reading and just keep reading in order. and see what really happened. See what was really said. Let God work in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Praise God. Well, can we lift our hands and just worship the Lord for a moment? Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory and honor to You, Lord. I praise You. I love You, Jesus. I honor You. I magnify You, Jesus. Praise Your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory and honor to You. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. There's somebody here, you've been seeking God. You've had a lot of questions, I guess is the way to put this. You've had a lot of questions about the things of God. And the Lord wants you to know that your being here tonight, you don't regularly attend this church, but your being here tonight is not an accident. That because of the hunger of your heart in wanting to know more about Him, just wanting clarity about things, that's the open door that God was able to move in and lead you here for these services. And He said, tonight is the beginning of the answers you've been seeking. And you are going to have one breakthrough after another. It's what I'm saying right now. It's like dominoes. Like a whole bunch of dominoes set up, and they're just going to start falling one after the other, after the other, after the other. And you are going to have a breakthrough in your walk with God. That your life is going to change. And God says, tonight was just the beginning. There are more things you're going to hear that contradict some things you've heard in the past. And He says, but remember, I cannot lie. And My word is forever settled in heaven. Let My word speak to you and bring about in you the change that you've been seeking. For My Son said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Not just set you free, it will make you free. And you're going to walk in a level of My glory, and it's going to be like a brilliant light has been turned on, and you are going to see Me in a way you've never seen Me before. You will know Me as your Father. Praise God.